It's Monday, April 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. And I got a great show lined up for you, and it's been a beautiful week here in Honolulu. A very busy weekend, a lot to talk about. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archives available via the podcast link on the website. The archives really, there's more than one these days, so I want you to pay attention to this. When you come to the website at geeknewscentral.com, and actually let me bring that up here for you, those of you who are watching video, what you're going to find is in the second column of the website, you're going to find subscribe/show page. So you're going to find all the RSS feeds for all of our shows. You're going to find the audio podcast, audio and video podcast of this show. You're going to find their special media events. You're going to find the morning tech show, and you're going to find the Gadget Professor. By clicking on any one of those, it's going to take you to the archives page for each specific show. And we want to encourage you to get subscribed to all those feeds. That way, you'll never miss a single episode of the Geek News Central podcast or the Gadget Professor or the Morning Tech Show. Our special media event feed gets some stuff in it from time to time through the year. Big push in and around the first of the year whenever CES is in play. But other than that, lots of great content for you here. We've got four shows a week for you at geeknewscentral.com. So again, guarantee that you're going to get your tech fill by staying subscribed to the shows here. And that's the most important thing, is being subscribed. That way you'll never miss, again, that single episode. You want to be subscribed to the newsletter as well. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show. We have all the links to all the content that'll get emailed to you immediately following the show, as soon as I post the show notes. That way, in the morning or whenever you pick up the show, you can follow along via email, or you'll have it there as a reference point for the future, and you'll get the news first about the release of the show. So make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. Of course, you can watch us on the Roku or on the Boxy. So I'm going to do an experiment tonight, and those of you that are watching the show right now on the Roku, watch a little bit of this show. I'm going to want you to come back. Actually, watch all of this show and then watch the last episode and tell me what you see in a delta in the video quality. What I found was working on the Saturday morning tech show was I found that if I basically I kind of downed the bit rate and I still was watching on my computer screen and I really couldn't tell a delta between a specific set, two specific settings. So tonight I'm going to cross my fingers and see how it goes by going with that lower bit rate and new configuration I'm using, and we'll see how the video looks on the Roku or on the Boxy. Of course, I'm the worst one to judge because I look at it pretty close. But if you're watching tonight, we're of course streaming at live.geeknewscentral.com. Of course, the live stream is also available on the main webpage at geeknewscentral.com through our Amazon Web Services/media server. And we're also simulcasting as well on Ustream. So both of those streams are up and running for live stuff. Hey, want to remind you that you can definitely stay abreast of what's going on here by calling, or actually, if you have comments about the show, drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Or if you want to leave a comment about the show, you can call the show hotline at 619-342-7365. And those are open 24 hours a day, the email and the voicemail, obviously. So, email is always open 24 hours a day. But call the voicemail hotline, leave your comment about the show, what you like, what you dislike, and provide us all the feedback that you want. We've got a lot going on here, and I've been pretty busy, and I've got a great show lined up for you today. But I want to take just a second and, of course, talk about our great sponsors. You know, GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here at the show, and I think you guys will agree when you go over to GoDaddy.com, you're going to find a whole bevy of great products and services. You're going to find domain names, hosting accounts. You're going to find support for SSL and security. You're going to find information on how to become a reseller over there. All kinds of great stuff. And the best part is I got some great promo codes for you to use. But one thing that I've been telling you about is we've been experimenting with one of their shared hosting accounts and doing some testing with it. And basically, it was a time to really look deep into some additional products that we hadn't used over there. And I'm simply amazed at number one, the pricing of their hosting accounts, and number two, what you're really getting for your money, because it really boils down to, you know, fast, secure, reliable, you unlimited bandwidth. And here's the best part. If you're looking at watching the live stream, you're going to see the price starts at $4.99 a month. That gives you 10 gigs of space on your server, unlimited bandwidth, 100 email accounts, 10 MySQL accounts, free Google ad credits. If you get the ultimate plan, which is only $14.99 a month, you're going to get unlimited website space and bandwidth, 1,000 email accounts. Now, why you would ever need that many, I have no idea. Unlimited MySQL databases. You're going to get Google ad clearance. And not only that, if you sign up for a multi-year plan, you can even bring the price down even more. So if you use my Todd20 code in conjunction with a 12-month plan, you'll get the $9.99 a month plus you get 20% off. So you're looking at $120 to get a whole year's worth of hosting unlimited. And then you take the 20% off code by using the Todd20 code. And, you know, you're essentially down to, you know, just under $100. And that's an amazing price. It really is. So when you get over to GoDaddy.com, definitely think about them. Think about me here at Geek News Central. We're happy to have them on board as a longtime sponsor. Of course, you can find all of my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And all the codes there are really going to help you out. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on any order, $20 or more. Of course, we already talked about the Todd20 code. ComSale2, Geek Central, Aloha, Geek SSS12. And of course, if you're a new customer, CES25 to save 25%. So these are all great promo codes. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. I endorse them. Geek News Central is hosted on a GoDaddy server. And we hope that you get over there and support GoDaddy and pick up some of their products. And of course, don't forget me when you get to the checkout counter. All right, lots of great stuff going on here. Let's talk just a little bit about the past weekend. This past weekend, of course, I told you on the last show I had a midterm that I was facing, two separate five-hour tests, and actually really only needed about 2.5 on each of them. Didn't go as bad, or you know, it went, as good as to be expected. I do know that I got 87% on the first test and didn't do as good on the second one, got a 72, but you know what? It's the last class. And as much as I like having my GPA as high as possible, who cares? I'm at that point right now. Who cares? You know, it's all good. So I got about 5 more weeks left, and I'm really excited about being done. I really, really am. Hey, the streaming on Amazon AWS with Flash Media Encoder has went well. Pricing has been fantastic. I mean, we were up live stream for 10 hours. We had about 500 of you pop in and pop out during the replay of the last show. I think the total bill came to like $6 or $7 or $8, something like that. Totally jazzed, and we're free of, if you're watching on live.geeknewscentral.com, we're free of ads from GoDaddy or anybody else, of Ustream. We don't have to have their, you know, baby diaper ads and that kind of stuff popping up, so I'm pretty excited about that. Okay, let me go ahead here and get through the rest of this stuff real quick. Saturday Morning Tech Show, hey, was a good one. I really encourage you to listen to it. It was probably one of the better ones from a dialogue standpoint, back and forth, kind of trying to find a rhythm with that show. And of course, The Gadget Professor, he's got a great episode up, so check his out. Of course, number 4. Been still doing follow-ups for NAB, and all that's been going well. You know, I wanted to reflect just a little bit. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it. What we're finding is we're talking with all these great content creators. I mean, some folks have some absolutely amazingly high-produced content. I mean, it's like they are definitely in a they're in a league way beyond what this show is at. You know, we do a real high production value here with the show, with a TriCast and everything else. But these are true professional cinematographers, and they create short story series and that type of stuff. And we've been talking with those folks, but a lot of them really need a lot more, I guess for a better word, hands-on when it comes to the new space. They're so used to working in a traditional broadcast space. And when you start talking to them about web portals, you start talking to them about putting their media up on devices like the Roku and Boxy that we kind of take for granted at this point. There's a lot of, you know, it's not handholding, but it's just more of a getting them informed and understanding what their options are. And when they finally figure out that it's this new era, being able to put content up on all glass, you know, that really excites them, and we're excited about being able to help them make that next step and in getting their content seen and basically in front of all of you. And I think that's pretty cool. Well, before we get into the last bit of content here, I want to take just a second. Of course, I want to thank our longtime sponsor, Citrix GoToMeeting. You guys know that I'm a big, big fan of this application. I use it on a daily basis. Matter of fact, we've been burning the midnight oil with the GoToMeeting sessions is how we've been following up with all our folks from NAB. And you know that really meetings are an essential part of any business. It really is. It's critical. But don't you hate just getting in the car, and don't you get on an airplane? And you know, my team is spread out across 5 different states, so we have to be very collaborative and work seamlessly together. And being able to have Angelo in Ohio on his computer and me here in Hawaii on mine, and then at the same time having the clients on and using the GoToMeeting software has been remarkable. It really, really has. You know, the ability really to show them what we're talking about and walk through stuff has been key in us making a lot of sales. So it's the easiest and most reliable online meeting service. You know, you can start a meeting with just a click of the mouse. It's just really that easy. And people can join on their computers. They can see what you're seeing. You know, Angelo, if I need a hand off to him and go to do something else, I just hand over to him as presenter. And, you know, here I'm in Hawaii. He's in Ohio. I hand off. He does his portion of the presentation. And I really love GoToMeeting. And I think as a listener of this show and a viewer, you should try it today. All you got to do, it's real simple. You go over to GoToMeeting and click on the try it free button. There's a little orange try it free box right on the website. You click on that, and basically what it's going to do, it's going to bring you right into a sign-up area. And once you get in there, it says try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. You enter your name, address, email address, and you put in the promo code. Here's the important thing. On that promo code, enter the promo code podcast. Just type it right in there, PODCASD. And when you do that, you'll get a free 30-day trial on us. Unlimited meetings. And the best part is we get credit for your trial. So thank you for giving GoToMeeting a try. We know that you're going to become big fans of this application and service. It really is the best way to have an absolutely secure online meeting that will work every time. Try GoToMeeting free again for 30 days. Go to GoToMeeting.com, click the try it free button, and enter the promo code podcast. All right, folks, let's go ahead and get into the regular content tonight. Got a stack of it here for you. And we're going to start right off with Steve Jobs. You know, boy, oh boy, talk about getting the type of attention you really don't want. But, you know, with this recent bashing, really, of the iPhone tracking us, lots of conversations have been breaking out. And there was a conversation that took place, I guess, via email, in which Steve Jobs basically replied to a person that was inquiring about this issue, and he says, "We don't track anyone." Okay. How come when I followed the instructions that were on the websites on how to get to this unencrypted file that's been tracking my every move with my iPhone, I could see where I had been for the last year? And, you know, I'm a traveler throughout the United States. It showed every state that I had visited, where I had driven. It showed essentially every airport that I had went to. I mean, scary. I was looking, I said, oh yeah, did I go there? And I kind of re-looked at I just couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. So for him to say, we're not tracking anyone. No, but they have sure made it real easy for anyone that would get a hold of my phone, my wife's phone, your phone, if you have an iPhone, to be able to figure out, think about the implications of someone it would be in a security situation like let's talk about someone that's a celebrity or someone that is a public official. Not only here in the United States, but outside the United States, and their phone was swiped, that data could be used for a bunch of nefarious reasons. They could take that data and figure out, okay, here's the traffic patterns that this person does. Here's a place he goes all the time. So, you know, it could really end up bad. Someone could use this information to kidnap you. Could be used in a political situation to cause harm to someone. The list goes on and on and on. Now, do they want anything to do with me? Probably not. But at the same point, if the iPhone is doing this, and supposedly the Android is to a certain extent too, folks, we need to stand up and say enough is enough. We need to stop these companies from, they're worse than Big Brother. This is worse. This is worse than the U.S. government coming at and tracking you. The FBI does not need at this point to put a tracker on your vehicle. Okay, now, obviously, if they're doing that, you're obviously under surveillance and there's been a wiretap. All they got to do is get the data off your phone and they can they find out where you have been. And if there's any back door into this, it's insane. Simply criminally insane. I personally feel that Apple should be held accountable to the umpteenth degree on this. If Google is doing the same thing with Android, they need to be held accountable, and they should be punished. Heavy fines. This is a privacy nightmare. It's already bad enough they're tracking everything we do on these things. But do I want my kid to have an iPhone? There is no way. There is no way that I want my kid to have an iPhone that has this information within. And I'm not in a position where I'm worried about something happening like that. But, you know, it makes you really question. And if you guys aren't upset about this, please tell me I'm off my rocker here. I'd love to hear your feedback on this. You can email me at geeknews@gmail.com or you can call the voicemail hotline again at 619-342-7365. But do you buy it when Steve Jobs says we don't track anyone? Well, maybe Apple doesn't, but somebody does. It upsets me. If it doesn't upset you, you know, you guys have been a fan. You guys listen to the show for a long time. You know I am on this kind of stuff. And it does no good to switch right now from Apple to Android because Android's doing the same thing. So Google is not held any less accountable. So don't get me wrong on this. But Google hasn't came out and said, we don't track anyone. Now, Apple's been summoned to the Senate. They're going to have a hearing on mobile device privacy. So Senator Al Franken, Democrat in Minnesota, has called upon Apple and Google to get their butts to Washington, D.C. and sit in the chair underneath the Judiciary Subcommittee on Privacy and Technology. And the hearing's going to take place on May 10th. I want to see that one on C-SPAN. So there needs to be some answers here. And they need to get this disc turned off now. It doesn't matter if you turn it off on the phone. It's still tracking, folks. Okay, you can do anything you want on the phone, and it's still tracking you, all right? South Korea, Europe, they're all starting iPhone tracking investigations. Apple's, they're in trouble. They have bit off more than they could chew on this one. This is going to be ugly before it's all over. It really is. And this is, you know, in Google, follow up with their Wi-Fi sniffing thing. And now, you know, Android is potentially tracking too. This has got to come to an end. It really does. All right. Changing gears here. The folks over at Facebook have introduced the send button. So we had the like button, right? Everyone's got the like button or recommend button. Well, now they've got the send button. So this is a series of updates that have been announced today. They're largely trying to help users more. Boy, you know what? This website at digitaltrends.com, let me show you guys this. See this little, and those of you who are watching the video, see that little yellow bar? It says Digital Trends is now, we talked about this in a previous show, Digital Trends now has a Google Chrome extension. Get the latest news on the topics you like direct to your browser. No, I don't want to see that. Wish that would go away permanently. But anyway, let's go back to the article. Facebook announced a series of updates on Monday that's going to largely help users more easily share information. You know, they introduced the question feature last month, and now that's going to be integrated to groups. But now you're going to be able to send, and you're going to be sent to specific people or groups and to basically share information. So again, the send button, you can now share things with any of your groups or individual friends on Facebook. And I'm sure all of us are going to have to adopt that. So we're going to have the like, recommend, and the share button or send now. So Facebook's doing a pretty good job of of actually dominating our little information bars on our blogs in order to get us to react and do stuff. Well, since AT&T submitted their This Is Why We Want to Buy T-Mobile app, the folks at Sprint have seeked a look at the confidential AT&T document. So Sprint has asked the Federal Communications Commission to grant it access to the documents. And, of course, AT&T doesn't want them to do that. But it appears that when AT&T submitted this, of course, they basically didn't submit when the public version of it had a whole bunch of stuff that was blacked out. So Sprint wants to see the whole enchilada. Now we'll have to see whether or not that if Sprint's going to be given permission to do that. But time will tell. But I think Sprint should get a peek at it so they can respond accurately to AT&T's request to buy Sprint, to buy T-Mobile. And that, should be part of their, ability to stop AT&T from becoming more of a monopoly than they already are. Hey, this is kind of a sub note. This is not necessarily a tech article, but Bloomberg had an article on businessweek.com talking about what's called the casino next door. Have you heard about this? Now, instead of going in and to an internet cafe and just get internet access and fax, you can also play sweepstakes. Have you heard about this? You can play sweepstake computers that look a whole lot like standard slot machine. Apparently, these are pretty popular in the South, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. Very, very big on these sweepstake machines. Has anybody seen one of these? If any of you, please clue me in here on what how this scam works. You know, it's just like Japan playing pachinko machines. Oh, you're going to play pachinko. It's a game, right? Well, you play pachinko, and if you do well, you go outside of the store, and you go around. If you know where to go, you go around with your little receipt, and you hand it in, and you get money back. Sounds to be kind of the same way that these sweepstake stores are working in the South, but they don't even have to go outside to get their money. They just get it from within the actual business itself because they have won a sweepstakes, playing something that looks like a slot machine. New York Times, I guess this is my one of 20 views this month. Facebook is the latest rival to Groupon and Living Social. Facebook said today that they are going to introduce deals, an effort by the site to tap into the consumer frenzy of over online discount. With deals, they're going to be exposing all of us to deals in our cities. They're going to be testing in 5 cities initially. So those of you that live in Atlanta, Austin, Dallas, San Diego, and San Francisco, you're first. You're going to be targeted initially. So they're going to be hoping to tap directly into your communications and offer you up discounts at the hairdresser and getting your nails done and barbershops and places to go eat and so forth. So not only are you going to be able to talk with your friends now, you're going to be able to save money when you're on Facebook. So I think this will probably be very successful by the Facebook folks. And but the selling. Hear about the movie where the guy actually sold the movie, sold everything in the movie. It was nothing but a movie that did nothing but promotions and product placements. And it's being released in a theater near you. So it was all over the news a couple of days ago. I don't have any links for you, but just look for the movie that the pure promotion movie and you'll find it. Hey, there's a little bit of rumor control coming out of, you know that we haven't heard about the Large Hadron Collider in a while. The LHC, of course, which is a 17-mile-long particle accelerator, which at one time thought might be responsible for creating some micro black holes. But there's a rumor going around, and the physics community is going pretty gaga here, that the world's largest atom smasher may have found the Holy Grail here. They have may have found a subatomic particle called the Higgs boson, also known as the God particle. And this was based on a document that they got on the street. This information was over on the Daily Galaxy at dailygalaxy.com. So they don't know if it's a hoax or real. No one from LHC is saying anything in detail. They say that in this initial report, that there has some testing that has to go on. We have to isolate this, make sure that it's actually what it is. But here is the thing. If this truth turns out to be the real deal and they get the real particle, this will be the find of the century. It will be big. It will be huge. It's like the Holy Grail of, you know, what these folks have been looking for. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this, if this turns out to be real or not. But it's pretty exciting stuff. Scientists are making the move here. I don't fully understand the ramifications of why it's so important. But boy, if they say it's important, it obviously is. Hey, I want to play, I did this on the last show. I got good response from all of you for doing this. For those of you who are watching the video, I want to play you a pretty cool video that was put together by NASA. And this is year one of the Solar Dynamics Observatory. And they've got a little contest going on, voting for your favorite solar event. And what I want to do is I just want to play a piece of this. I'm not going to play the full thing. It's 2 minutes and 21 seconds. But here's your taxpayer dollars of work for those of you that live here in the United States. But I will go ahead and run this video for you. You can check a little bit about this out. Of course, I have it in the show notes for you that are listening to the show where you can actually go watch this later. So anyway, I wanted to share this with you guys, and it's pretty cool. It really is. And if you look at the video of this and what this thing has captured and collected, scientists have gotten a lot of information with this. And when we were at an event here in Honolulu last week, the guys were out with their telescopes that could view the sun, and you could see this little micro, you could see a little tiny sunspot coming off. But what the Solar Dynamic Observatory has brought to the table has been truly amazing. And NASA's done a good job on this. But anyway, good video from the Goddard Space Flight Center. And of course, this is a link that was up over on universetoday.com. All right, let me go ahead here and bust into some more tech news here. U.S. Airways is seeing low internet usage. Their breakpoint, where they start making money with their online Wi-Fi, is when 20% of the people that are flying actually sign up and use the service for each flight. And what they're seeing is about 5% of passengers on flights are actually using the service. Now, here's a funny thing. They've got this available on 50 planes. They're Airbus A321. Okay, so got this great Wi-Fi service on 50 planes. But none of them have power outlets. The average laptop, depending on its age, you know, probably can be online for a couple of hours. You know, if you've got a Mac, 3 or 4 hours. But no power plugs, and they want people to sign up for this? Who are they kidding? It's just like, yes, you can sign up. You know, some of you show up the airplane and your laptop's already 50% down on battery charge because maybe you've used it in a lounge or you know, you haven't been plugged in and you've been checking email. And many times, what do we get on the airplane? It's our only time for, I'm not connected. I can sleep. I can rest. I can close my eyes. I think it's going to be hard for the hardcore guys like me. I probably sign up for that type of stuff. But the other rest of us, that's probably our only time where we can just basically say, forget it, right? So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how they do. But no power outlets, to me, that's like, okay. You know, I'm really becoming a fan of the website Ogizmo. I really am. And the reason I am is that I don't know where they find some of this stuff. But, you know, my kids are big into brown bagging. And they've got a new lunchbox. It's got a Red Cross sign on it. It says human organ for transplant, and it's a lunchbox. And I just wonder if I bought a couple of these and gave them to my kids for, you know, to take to school as lunchbox, if how long it would be before the school would call and complain. But for $20, I may have to order one. But, you know, if nothing else, it gets a little bit of attention. And, your kids can always tell the folks at school, oh, yeah, this my dad used to work for a transplant people, and this is a bag he brought home. If nothing else, you know, they're going to, you know, was there really organs? Probably kid will be suspended because they're worried about some disease or something being transmitted. But maybe not a good idea to send it with the kids. But it'd be fun anyway if I could get away with it. I remember on April Fool's Day, there was a article that we talked about the QT van. Now, I want to bring something. Let me reload this article here. And the QT van was designed to be used with an electric scooter. Now, everyone thought this was a joke. Everyone thought this was supposed to be for a, you know, kind of like showing how to be green and everything else. But this is the real deal. And I don't know how much they paid this actor to set on this, one of these devices that I hate to say I would, you know, I would expect to be using one of these when I'm in my 90s. Not when I'm at the age I am now, but it's this little van you pull behind, you know, it's basically one of these scooters, electric scooters. And they actually show this dude in the van, and he's real, boy, they're nice spreadsheet. you can buy one of these for $9,000 or £5,500. So, yes, this is available in the UK. They will ship to the United States, the QT van camper trailer. And again, it's designed for those with electric scooters. And best thing they're saying is, you don't have to, you can camp out now at stores for deals. You don't have to sit outside on the sidewalk in your chair. You can get your, you know, I'd see one of these things if I was a kid. And number one, if someone was in it, we'd pick them up and carry them somewhere. They would not, this thing would either be upside down. It's actually got a TV antenna on it. So, if they sell any of these, I'll be shocked. I really will. And, you know, that's just a couple things from Ogizmo. I just had to share, just to bring that up to you. All right, Google and Friends wrap open video codec in a patent shield. So we knew this was coming. Google announced a patent sharing program around WebM in an effort to guard against open source web video format from legal attack. So there was a couple of articles, but the folks that did the best reporting on this was over at theregister.co.uk. But apparently, founding members include AMD, Cisco Systems, Logitech, MIPS Technologies, Matroska, Mozilla, no, whatever Matroska is, Mozilla, Opera, Samsung, Texas Instrument, Ziff Foundation, LG, Samsung, did I say Samsung already? Yep, as well as Google. So these are the companies that have gotten on the WebM. Basically, they're a group of people that bought into and said that they're going to guard against the format from legal attack. And that's what they've done with H.264 as well. But we know that WebM is based upon the VP8 video codec that Google acquired when it purchased O2. The folks at Apple, they are very much against any other competing format coming on board. The challenge with WebM, of course, right now still is that the number of encoders available for you and I utilization are limited. Sorrenton Squeeze is very expensive. It's the one that only really does the best, at this point, does the most effective job unless you're very handy with a command line. But Google has basically tried to get some companies here together as a consortium to try to protect it from attack. We'll see what happens with this. But all of the companies are going to be able to have a free and open license. And again, the WebM format has been already established as an open license platform by Google. So royalty-free license specifically. So that's important. But anyway, we'll see where this develops. WebM still has a lot of challenges ahead from the perspective of being able to, keep the vultures away from them from a legality standpoint. Hey, Trucker Tom did a great article over at Geek News Central on Seagate and Momentus XT hybrid solid state hard drive. And he had a MacBook Pro 17-inch that he needed to have upgraded. Actually, what he did is he took it into the Apple store to have it cleaned because he'd been driving with the MacBook and he said it was just full of crud. And so they installed, he requested that they install a 500 gigabyte Seagate Momentus XT hard drive. And basically what the hybrid is, it's part SD drive or part SSD drive and part traditional drive. So it comes with a 4 gig solid state drive with the rest of the storage being a conventional 72 RPM, 2.5 inch SATA laptop hard drive. And basically the drive comes with some intelligence that automatically copies the most frequently accessed computer files that will give the most boost to overall performance, including significant faster boot up times. And he is ecstatic about the performance on that. So a great article by Trucker Tom over at Geek News Central. Definitely check out that article. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you, of course. And there's an application that Trucker Tom just found that I've been familiar with for a while. And it's a push-to-talk application called Heytel. And we use this at CES quite a bit. And you basically, it kind of works like, you can do almost like a radio communication. You can hold a little button in the app and you have a distribution list set up. You speak into it, let it go, and it delivers it to them and they can play it back. It's pretty cool. We used it a little bit to a certain amount of success. So if you're doing an event where you have a bunch of people working together, the Heytel application works pretty good. And for $5, I think you get the premium version, or maybe it's $3 or something like that. It unlocks a group sending feature, which is pretty cool. Trucker Tom's been on the app writing stunt this week, and he also came up with a new app called Whistle Free Calling. This is an iPhone app for your iPod. And it gives you a free incoming phone number that you can use to, that can be called from domestic phones. And also you can make outgoing calls with it. He basically installed it as a backup. And they wanted alternatives available. And it really kind of paid off because he got into a location where his Sprint phone didn't have any coverage, but he had Wi-Fi at a location and he had his iPod. And he basically made this call through his iPod. He said the quality kind of sucked, but overall, he was able to make the call when he normally wouldn't have been able to. So this is a pretty cool app. Again, Whistle Free Calling review at Geek News Central by Trucker Tom, one of our contributors over there. Now, all of us sometimes have trouble finding gas stations. My biggest, you know, I think the thing I freak out the most is when I'm traveling, I'm always picking up rental cars. And so a lot of times I don't know where maybe a gas station is. It's, you know, relatively close to the airport, but yet it's not going to gouge me so bad on the per gallon price. So I'm always trying to find a, you know, kind of the best deal and find a, you know, location that's close enough to the airport where my, you know, my gas gauge isn't going to go down any so that they can tell that I haven't drove on it for 20 miles. Don't, you know, I know we all do that. But anyway, the folks over at Engadget are now talking about charge point. And this is for those of you that are going to have electric vehicles. You're now going to be able to reserve. Yes, I'm saying reserve. You're going to be able to reserve electric charging stations. And instead of going somewhere and having to wait in line and have a fist fight with someone, then, you know, you're trying to get a charge in your car and someone's out of juice, needs to get juiced up quick and move on. I am not ready to make reservations to get my car charged. Now, this is being launched in New York City. And I'm sure at some point in the future, there'll be charging stations at every parking meter in every city. And you'll have no problem charging your vehicle. You know, you plug your car in at the same time. It'll charge you for parking there. You know, that's great for San Francisco to raise money, right? But now there's limited options available. So you, instead of fighting for a charging location, you can now reserve through this new service called ChargePoint. Sorry, it's too much hassle. I'm not ready for it. We need to get there, but boy, oh boy, it's going to be painful for the early adopters. Well, Apple, of course, announced their earnings statement last week, and of course, no one's happy. All the analysts are complaining and crying. Look how much money they made. They had a huge profit margin. And yet they're just crying about it. $24.67 billion. And net profit leapt 95% per share to it leapt from $5.99 to $6.40 a share. I don't get it. I don't really get it. I don't. But the stock market's all, you have to have this, you know, stock market's so brutal on these companies for if they don't make as much money as they think they should, they're still making money, you know, but they it's just crazy. It really is. And now, of course, Apple's getting the sue game and Samsung's suing them and back and forth. And of course, what was even more nuts about it is, of course, Apple buys billions of dollars worth of product from Samsung, and yet they're going to go out and sue one of their biggest parts partners. It's a funny world we live in. It really is. They're going to lock up $11 billion in hardware. That's up from $5.9 billion in 2010. So 2011, they're going to basically put in advance buys for $11 billion worth of components. They're, obviously, the iPads and the iPhones and everything are selling like crazy. Now, a little bit crazier in the topic realm is if you're going to kidnap someone, don't use your cell phone to call to demand the ransom. Apparently, some very bright individuals in the Kremlin who kidnapped the son of Kaspersky Lab, and I just destroyed that antivirus suite. Kaspersky Lab, CEO's kid was kidnapped, and basically the captors were all arrested because they called on their cell phone to demand the ransom, and the Russian authorities triangulated on the phone and basically the kid's back with his father. But how stupid. Obviously, hey, let's call in the ransom with our cell phone. Well, good for the kid. You know, there's dumb criminals still, right? All right, SurveyMonkey has purchased up online forum startup WooFoo for $35 million. And I've never even heard of WooFoo until today. But WooFoo does, again, is an online forum startup. And SurveyMonkey does surveys. WooFoo does forms. Why could not SurveyMonkey, with their infrastructure, very easily go into forms themselves? But I guess they bought this company up $35 million in cash and stock. I don't fully understand. It seems like you'd have the infrastructure to be able to leverage what you have, but they got the money, they can spend it. Hey, Netflix is now officially bigger than Comcast. Netflix continued to post some impressive numbers here. The first quarter, Netflix added 3.6 million subscribers, ending the period with more than 23.6 million subscribers in total. That was up 69% from the 14 million subscribers it had a year ago. This article is courtesy of GigaOm.com and their new TV section. So doing some good numbers here, and they feel that they're going to continue to have good growth throughout 2011. Netflix forecasts 24 million to 24.8 million subscribers in the U.S. and expects to add between 900,000 and 1.05 million international subs by the end of the second quarter. So that's good. We'll see where Netflix goes, and I'm glad that they are continuing to do well here with their product offering. Next article is, you know, how many of you have a Dropbox account? I pay the $99 a year for a pro Dropbox account. And generally, when I'm sending stuff, big files to different clients, I use that. But apparently, there's a new open source project called Dropship that allows users to exploit Dropbox file hashing scheme. So when you're using Dropbox, you can have private files and public files. And generally, what Dropbox has been able to do is if people are doing like peer-to-peer activity, and they usually have a public profile because the files have to be publicly apparent, and so for people to download them. Well, this new project apparently allows people to save the hashtag of a file in JSON format. That's JSON. That's what's a format that programmers use. And anyone can then take those hashes and load the original file into their Dropbox account from a private account. And this is got the Dropbox folks just freaking out, trying to shut it down. They tried to send some DMCA takedown notices on something that they didn't own the copyright on and all kinds of crazy stuff. But definitely potential for abuse and distribution of sharing of illegally pirated files. I'm sure that's what Dropbox is freaking about. But because they made such a public stink about this, this thing has gone viral and a bunch of people are now working on it. So, you know, if they'd have just kept quiet, it may not have made the rounds as much as it did. Over at Forbes.com, they've been doing some analysis on demand media. Of course, demand media, from everything they can tell now, has gotten hammered worse than what they originally said. They say their site traffic is down 40%. And looking at their numbers, they have been impacted heavily. But what I was blown away with was a statistic that was in here that prior to the crackdown, 0.57, check this out, 0.57% of those who departed Google next visited a site operated by demand media. Since the change, they're now down to 0.29%, which is still huge considering how much traffic Google drives to sites. Now, worse off was Mahalo's Google. Of course, you know, that's run by Jason Calacanis. Their traffic is down 78%, and Associate Content is down 61%, and Examiner.com is down 51%. Now, here's the beauty. Geek News Central is up 50%. We are up 50% this year. We've seen this huge, huge rise in traffic. And the only thing I can think of is we have, you know, close to 10,000 articles on geeknewscentral.com alone. And all, of course, all the content writers are creating great content, but our longevity of having all this content, you know, has really given us a heavy Google juice. And since they've driven these other sites into the weeds, you know, we have a lot of those same terms with a legitimate, originally written content. So we're rising much higher in the rankings. So for us, for a doubling in bandwidth or doubling in web traffic is huge because, you know, I'm happy when we get like a 2 or 3% increase over in a month, but to see 50% in just a very short period of time, that is huge for any site like mine. And it's driven numbers of listeners and everything else. I'm really pleased. And, And of course, like, I think the content helps too. I hope we're creating great content for you. And love to hear your feedback on the show, of course, by calling the show hotline at 619-342-7365. Hey, Google's launched instant preview of ads. So now, instead of clicking on that Google ad, you can now hover over it, and it will show you an instant preview of the site that they're sending you to, so you can get a quick look. Great for advertisers because they don't have to pay for that preview until the person clicks on it, and may end up actually allowing you guys to find some stuff that might be viable in your Google searches that you actually will click on an ad. If you are buying an Android phone and you pick one up from Amazon, Amazon's going to give you a $25 worth of credits for apps in its Amazon App Store. The promotion ends on May 1st, so if you pick up a new Droid, this might be the place to go to pick up the Droid and get some get a $25 gift coupon that you'll be able to use very quickly. Well, you'll be able to, you know, buy a bunch of apps for your phone. This is a great one, and this was over on Gizmodo. So you said, tell the missus, oh, honey, I'm going to go down to the grocery store and pick up some groceries. And you get to the grocery store and you walk in. And, you know, it's a little, you know, not too many people around. You know, so you grab your cart, you go do your shopping. And when you get everything done, you go to the checkout. Now, I've gotten used to doing a self-checkout, so I use those. And, you know, in most places that you go, in Walmarts and so forth, if you're using self-checkout and you've purchased a bottle of wine or picked, you know, some other type of adult beverage and you go to scan it, it requires an employee to come over and look at you and make sure you're old enough to consume alcohol and check your ID and you know, they do a little passcode and off you go. Well, apparently, a Pack and Save supermarket in New Zealand opened for business when no employees were working. The store was not ransacked or stripped, but people went in on Good Friday, and they picked up their groceries, and they went to the scanner and scanned, and when they had purchased alcohol and no one was around, they figured out that there was nobody there. So some people paid for their purchases, some people didn't, but no one really walked out. They went to the checkout counter to look around. Good old technology opening the store, turning on all the computers. It's funny, unlock the doors. The computer unlocked the door. That blows me away. So the store owner is saying, hey, if you didn't pay, come on back, settle up with us. We'd appreciate it. Good luck. Oh, man. It's just too funny. It really is. And, of course, Gizmodo wasn't the source of this article. The source of this was over at stuff.co.nz. So I thought it was pretty cool. Technology sometimes can be your worst enemy. YouTube is ready to start renting video on demand movies from major studios. Apparently, YouTube has gotten the final deal signed, and they are going to be moving forth with selling movies on demand. And so they're going to obviously try to compete with Netflix and so forth. But let's really think about it. Do you want to watch movies basically on YouTube? Don't know. I think Netflix is going to be the better way still for a while. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what the offer is. Hey, Ace Adults are over on his weblog. He's basically saying, do not track. It's just getting started. And for those of you that upgraded Firefox, remember, there's a new option that allows you to turn off whether or not it basically battles against these sites that are tracking you. But only 1% of Firefox users have implemented this. So don't forget this is available for you out there if you want to protect your privacy a little more. And of course, we've talked a lot about Righthaven and all these other idiots that are doing these lawsuits against people for nefarious reasons. But it appears that these content trolls, their legal strategy is working to a certain extent, and just by the number of cases being dropped and what the reported settlements are, they're finding out that some of these lawyers, just through attrition, you know, they file 300 lawsuits, and then at the end, they drop 15 of them. They, basically cancel 15 of the lawsuits, They're finding that these lawyers are making $40,000-$60,000 a whack by going after people and basically threatening them with a lawsuit and making them settle. So this is extortion at its best, folks. So if you get one of these, you know, one of these requests for money, I would highly recommend that you seek legal counsel and get some advice. Because if not, you may be out $3,000 or $5,000 for no reason whatsoever. You know, I think we all know that TV is global, right? We know that everything is, or not the TV is global, that the internet is global. We can watch content from almost any country. We can go to any website. But apparently the TV people are just figuring out that the internet is global. Now, the producers of Doctor Who, which is created in the UK, it's a great show. The latest season, the first show, basically they're going to run in the UK and the United States at the same day, on the same day. Now, this is a good start. Thinking, okay, Doctor Who is going to be released in the UK. It's going to be released here in the United States on the same day. That means, you know, there's going to be less pirating. People are going to be able to watch it from the sources they want with the advertising, blah, 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 blah. But apparently that they're still going to release future episodes by a week. So you're going to get the first one the same day. And yet you're going to get the second one a week late. So they haven't quite figured it out yet, but they're trying. As soon as they figure out it's global, then we might get content that we want when we want in whatever country we are in and not with all these stupid IP restrictions. Okay, we know IPv4 domain IP addresses are going and they're running out. So they're now becoming an active marketplace for buying and selling IPv4 addresses, specifically in Asia. So four websites are serving as brokers for organizations who want to sell or lease IPv4 space. And apparently they're selling for about $12 an address at this point. And I'm sure the prices will go up as IPv4 addresses become in much shorter demand. Lots of talk going on about Amazon and their Amazon Web Services having issues earlier or late last week. And a lot of talking about what went wrong and what people did right and so forth. But here's my opinion on the cloud. We were on the cloud where we weren't affected. I talked with Angelo. I said, okay, what happens if our region goes down? He said, oh, no, don't worry. I've already got instances built up. We're ready to go. He says, we really can come up on a different instance almost instantaneously. And also we still have a redundancy in separate, basically have different servers kind of sitting in standby at GoDaddy still that would take over, you know, in case something in the cloud went down. And I think we planned fairly well for the size of company we are. We haven't had to invest a huge amount of money except in our stat system and making sure that all stays up continuously because there cannot be failure there. Failure is not an option. And but people are just bashing Amazon. It's just like any other service. People have to be prepared and they have to understand what can happen will, and outages are going to happen and things are going to go down. It's not going to be the end of the world, but at the same time, if you've got a business that has to be supported and you want clients that are not going to scream and yell at you, you have to be essentially ready to go. Now, today I got an email from one of the folks that work with our team, and he's basically, there's some challenges with some stuff going on with him and some services that he's supporting, and it just goes back again, boils down to having, can't have all your eggs in one basket. You have to have many baskets and spread it as wide as you can. Is anything perfect? No. And our stuff is probably far from perfect, but we do at least have a plan. And hopefully we never have to implement that plan. But if we do, you know, I think we'll be fairly well prepared for it. Let's talk about the Nook. The Nook Color has apps. So I'm going to try to get some more information on that. But the Nook Color brings Android Froyo. In other words, you're going to be able to really be running Android on this and Adobe Flash support. So this is big. This is a $249 device now that's color. It's got apps. It's got a Flash capability. So Barnes & Noble is not out of the game yet, folks. They're not. And let's see here. Last couple of things I've got for you before we get into the comments is that Yahoo bought a TV sharing app called Into Now. Spent some money on that today. Not much information on that's on the street yet. Also, there's been some raids by the FBI. One of them went into a alleged house of a Screen Actors Guild member who allegedly shared the King's Speech movie up on a peer-to-peer site. So he's basically saying there's much to do about nothing. He didn't do it, but the police think, or the FBI seems to think he has. And apparently there's a gentleman that had the police storm his house, put him on the floor, put a gun on the back of his head, and basically accused him of being a pedophile. Turns out that it was neighbor using his open Wi-Fi. So be careful out there with your Wi-Fi, okay? Because you don't know what pervert lives next door. And I know my neighbors. I'm not saying my neighbors are perverts at all, but you may want to really think about having that open Wi-Fi. More and more people are getting, basically, it was all sorted out. And the other guy that was responsible got arrested. But they initially broke into this guy's house, and just think about being accused of something so horrendous and being completely innocent. So keep your Wi-Fi hotspots locked up, folks. And Level 3 today bought Global Crossing. This is a big acquisition by Level 3, and it's definitely going to ramp up the game here a little bit. And I'm afraid it's actually going to be negative from a cost standpoint. I think it's going to drive bandwidth transfer cost up. Only time will tell. But anyway, Level 3 bought Global Crossing today. Hey, that kind of wraps it up for the regular content that I've got here. And I want to remind you, of course, that you can call the show hotline at 619-342-7365. And, of course, you can email the show at geeknews@gmail.com. And follow me, of course, on Twitter at Geek News. Let me go ahead and get into some email that we have. I think we've got a few comments today. Let me load and see exactly what we've got. I think just one, I think, came in. Let's see here. What is the date? Today is the 25th. Yeah, so actually, this is probably the lowest listener email count ever. But anyway, Trucker Tom sent me an email. AT&T is starting to sell cell tower in a suitcase. And that's kind of an interesting deal. Basically, what it is if you are a big organization having an event, or if you're the federal government doing something, you can actually buy a suitcase that has a cell tower in it. You can put this up and have your own hotspot to alleviate network congestion. You have to provide the backhaul, of course, but it's kind of a plug-and-play type of device. So pretty cool on AT&T's part, making that available to people having big events and so forth. But anyway, it's up on finance.yahoo.com. Well, folks, pretty good here on time. It was my goal to keep the short show a little bit tighter condensed, and that's where we're at. And as always, we want to hear your feedback. And how's the tighten up summary working for you? Is it working good? Are you guys liking how basically they've got things tied in? One thing I wanted to do here, since I got just a few minutes at the end, is I want to basically give those that are new a kind of a quick tour of the studio here. And those of you that are on video, you have to close your eyes here in imagination. But I'm going to switch to camera one. And this is basically the point tilt zoom camera that's pointing down on the desk where my control surface is. I only use a portion of this when I'm not using a virtual set, but use this to do all the switching and title changes. And you can see probably by today's video that I was doing a little bit more fancy stuff with the titles. And I can fly stuff in and out. I'm pushing the wrong button here. So I can fly in titles like that. I can fly them out, which is kind of cool. But, of course, camera two is the shot that you've been seeing here most of the show. Camera three, I use this a lot during our Saturday morning tech show. This is looking back over on the audio recording that's going on. You can see the TriCast here in the spot. And, of course, the Ohanosaurus that's behind us that is our two lines that we can take Skype calls on during our Saturday morning tech show and during the 24-hour podcast. And then we've kind of got another camera over here that does a bird's eye view, and I can kind of walk you around the studio with this. This gives you a little closer view of the stack of gear that we use to process the audio portion of it. And then, of course, the video and audio actual recording portion of the show. And that's the TriCaster interface. And then back here at a wide shot, going back to camera one, I can kind of flip you around a little bit as well. And we can put you down a little closer on the desk, which I don't use very often. Show you the cameras here. There's two cameras up front. Of course, the point tilt zooms on either side. And then, of course, the background of the office here. And then a view that you don't quite see in the same detail one way, looking at the back of the studio. And, of course, I can do another shot down on the table here. But anyway, that was kind of just a quick tour of the studio here at Geek News Central. And many years of work to get to this level. But we just like to share that with the audience from time to time. Yes, all protected by a very sophisticated alarm system. And I think we have 16 cameras around the compound here, all tied in and monitored. So thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for coming out and watching the show and or listening to the show. And we thank you for being part of the Ohana here, being part of the family. And until next time, we'll see you. We'll see you on Thursday. Everyone take care. And aloha.